Well, good morning again. And day 7 of our fast, and I told you we'd be having messages relating to that today, and Pastor Paul Chase is here to bring a message on the Word, and I know it's going to be a powerful Word that will speak to each one of our hearts. So, Pastor Paul, if you'll come.
Good morning. Last Sunday, I was in St. Louis, Missouri. And if any of you have been watching the news, that was the worst time to be in Missouri. There was 10 people in the first service. I didn't even know why I was there. You know, there's a lot of Sunday mornings you wake up and you go, man, I really don't want to go to church today. You have no idea how many times pastors feel the same way. I don't want to go to church, but I have to. I'm the pastor. Second service, we had 20. Third service, they canceled it. You couldn't get down the road. It was snow and ice. I'm thinking, why am I here? And so today it's like, this is revival, man. It's no snow, no ice. Now I know why I don't live in Missouri. God have mercy. And the funny thing is, I was there covering for a very dear friend of mine I've known since 1978. Him and his family are on vacation. So I'm in Missouri in the snow. Where is he? On a beach in Florida. I told him, I said, man, you owe me. You owe me. As we began the service, we sang a song, Except the Lord Build the House. Nobody can tear it down. And when we come into a time, this usually the beginning of the year, this time of prayer and fasting, it's very, very important we understand some things about what prayer and fasting is and what it's not. And you being here today is kind of like a trip to Home Depot. You go to Home Depot, you're always getting something for the house, something for the outside, something for the inside, and there's all kinds of things that you use to build with. And we are building a house. We're building a spiritual house. We're building relationships. We're building friendships. We're strengthening our marriage. Building is something that's done on purpose, and it's intentional. So to build a stronger life, to build a more successful life, it's purposeful. It's intentional. It's not an accident. You can have a plan for a beautiful house, and it's not like you go away and you come back in 3 months and, oh, there it is. No, there's plans. There's blueprints. There's a lot of activity that goes into it. And God supplies us His Word and His Spirit, and He wants us to take those truths and those principles, add them to our lives, and build a strong life. Fasting and taking the time at the beginning of the year, I think, is always good because it's giving attention to areas of our life, giving attention or dealing with or confronting issues or challenges or some things you want to see some change in. It's taking some time and setting it aside to focus on areas you want to see change. Because if you don't take the time to deal with it, then you'll carry it in your head, you'll carry it in your emotions, you'll worry about it, you'll stress about it, and you'll complain about it. And usually where you complain and stress, you will remain. But if you begin to pray and begin to praise, you'll progress. How many of you want 2025 to be a better year than last year in many ways? How many know that this year does not change because we turn the page of a calendar? Well, I think, oh, we got a brand new year. No, if you don't do anything different, it's just going to be the same old, same old. You know, it's things, oh, it's a brand new year, it's a brand new start. No, things change because we implement and we begin to walk in truths and we begin to do some things that we maybe haven't been doing. One of the things about prayer and fasting also is maybe you need to confront some habits that have been stealing from you or limiting you. You know, we talk about prayer and fasting and we're going, okay, well, I'm not going to eat, and we'll get into some of that. You know, first of all, fasting is not a Christian diet. It's not that you just stop doing one thing. If you're not going to eat, then what are you going to replace it with? Some people, one of the biggest things you need to fast maybe is this thing. Some people would rather skip a meal than put their phone down. You say, okay, let me tell you, just go ahead and just turn that off for a day. No, you go into a fit. You think, oh, no, I'll be missing something. Somebody somewhere is going to be calling me. Some people can't even sit through a meal without this. I was at a restaurant not too long ago, and shouting out at the restaurant, and we looked at this table of people over there. There's six people at a table all sitting there eating, and every one of them was looking at their phone. I'm thinking, what did we do before these? How did we get along? How did you ever find things without GPS? Now even your cars, you've got a GPS in there, or you find Waze or maps on here. Man, remember those Rand McNally things we used to have to read? And now we have all of these smartphones and smart this, and I don't know, we got a lot of new things that I think in many, many ways it makes us much busier. So if you're going to fast something as you're praying, maybe you ought to try this. Just a thought. Now, if you're older, it's not that big a deal. If you're a young person, it'll cause you to have a nervous conniption. The Bible says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. One of the things is in prayer and fasting, be honest with yourself. Are there some issues in my life that are stealing from me? Are there some bad habits that I really need to break? Because if you got a bad habit, a good habit, good is greater than evil, and a good habit can overcome a bad habit. Don't allow things that are stealing from you, stealing your time and causing your priorities to be out of order, where in the time that you spend with people, the attention that you give to people, beginning with your immediate family, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your kids, or the people that are dear to you, start there. John 10:27, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, if we're going to follow the Lord, since we don't see him, we have to be able to hear him. And we're going to hear him through the knowledge of his word and how he speaks to our hearts. And of course, some people find that almost arrogant or extreme or radical when you begin to talk about hearing the Lord or following the Lord. Well, he's my heavenly Father. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. One of the greatest strengths that we need to have in our life is how to be led by the Spirit of God. Christians need to be led, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And many, many times, you're needing direction in life, and you're hearing something, or you have an unction or a feeling, we call it a feeling, it's not really physical, it's something on the inside, and you may ask yourself, now, I don't know if that's me, if that's God, if that's the devil. Listen, if you can't distinguish the difference between the voice of God or the voice of the devil, you seriously need to work on that. Because one will take you one direction, one will take you the other. One brings liberty and freedom, the other one brings pain and brings bondage. Truth will never take you into bondage. Truth will bring freedom. It may confront you in some areas of your life, but it'll always bring freedom. So recognizing the voice of your Father, if my sons were here, if my daughter was here, you could put a blindfold on them, you could bring 10 or 15 different men on this stage, and my kids would listen to each one talk and go on down the line, and then finally when they heard my voice, they'd go, yeah, that's my dad, because my children would recognize my voice. As children of God, we need to be able to recognize when the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Because our ability to hear determines the decisions that we make, and the decisions that we make is going to determine the kind of life that we live. Our choices. The choices that we make today are going to determine our tomorrows. The choices we make today are not only going to determine the tomorrows for us, but the people that are dearest to us. If you're a businessman, being led by the Spirit of God and getting the wisdom of God and insight and understanding and the ability to perceive something correctly beyond the obvious, because that's where deception comes in. It can look good, it can sound good, it can taste good, but behind the scenes, it's a setup, it's a scam. And they're trying to persuade you on the outside, but if you don't have discernment, if you don't have insight beyond the obvious, you can be led astray. That's like bank tellers. I think I heard Pastor Leonard share on this the other day when I was here about discerning real money. They don't give them fake money. They just give them real money. The more you handle real money, you recognize the real. We don't have to study lies. We just study the truth. When you know the truth, you recognize lies. And so when it comes to prayer and fasting, it's taking some time getting yourself aside to tune in. You know, if you're going to tune in and you will catch a radio station, you don't need your eyes. You can be in total darkness, have your hand on the knob and just turn it a little bit and until you get to the station and you can hear it, and the more you turn to the left or to the right. Of course, nowadays, I mean, that's old school. Nowadays, you just push buttons and it automatically goes. I'm telling my age now, but some of you are close to my age. But you can turn it a little bit to the left. Prayer and fasting does that. It gets you to the place where you can tune in and hear with clarity. When you hear with clarity, you can be led. And the leading of the Word of God and the Spirit of God is always going to take you in the right direction. Some people say, I have such a hard time hearing from heaven. Well, just start with what you can see. Start with God's Word. Because following the Word of God is still being led by the Spirit. So when it comes to prayer and fasting, it is not just the absence of food. It's replacing it with something else. You say, okay, well, I'm going to fast today. Okay, if you're not going to eat, then take some time to feed your heart, feed your spirit. I mean, we feed our bodies 3 times a day. Some people more. I'm not looking at anybody when I say that. Say, why did you look at me when you said that? My eyes are closed. Because I got to look at somebody when I'm talking. How many times do we really? If Filipinos, they eat all the time. They have something called merienda, which is like a snack. So you have breakfast, and then after breakfast, later on before lunch, you have merienda, which is a snack. Then you have lunch. After lunch, later on, then you have another merienda. Then later on at night, you have dinner, and then before you go to bed at night, you have another merienda. Filipinos should be the biggest people in the world because they eat 6-7 times a day. You go to their house. Anytime you come in the house, they offer you food. If you say no, they're going to bring it anyway. So we're always feeding this, and we're always feeding this. Do you know how much they paid for a 30-second commercial in the Super Bowl last year? It's ridiculous. I think 30 seconds was, I don't know, $50, $60 million. For 30 seconds? Why would you pay that much money for 30 seconds? And some of these people, Doritos, can you imagine Doritos paid over $100 million to advertise a chip? Why? Because they know the influence it has on your mind. You're going to go to the store and you're going to get some snacks, and what are you going to think of? Doritos. They got the best commercials. Oh, yeah, I need to grab some of those poisonous things and eat those. Why would they spend that much money? 30 seconds. So we're always feeding this, and we're always feeding this. And if the only time you ever hear the Word of God is on Sunday morning when you come to church, then you wonder why spiritually you're weak, because you eat one meal spiritually a week, but you feed your body 3 to 4 times a day, and you feed your mind all day long. And faith doesn't come from what you feed your head, and it doesn't come from what you feed your belly. It comes from what you feed your heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to overcome the challenges and the worries and the fears and the limitations in life by what you feed your stomach or by what you watch. Now, I'm not against entertainment, whether you want to watch Netflix or HBO, or I know especially during Christmas, oh dear Lord, my wife and Hallmark movies and, oh God. I mean, 3 minutes into it, you know what's going to happen. You know it looks bad, but they're going to come together. He's going to marry her. She's going to go with him. It's going to end happy. Lifetime, not always as happy as Hallmark, but it's just like, or YouTube, or wherever you can spend so much time. I'm not against entertainment, but entertainment won't build your faith. Entertainment won't help you overcome fear or worry or anxieties or concerns concerning the future. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be fasting. If you're going to be fasting, you don't want to advertise it. Getting recognition from other people, oh, you're so spiritual, you're fasting. You just got your reward. I don't want my reward because I get a recognition from people. I want the reward that comes from my Father because of what I'm actively doing. There's a purpose that I'm fasting. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, notice it says when you fast, not if. Which right there tells you that sometimes fasting is good. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I like that. What's done in secret gets rewarded openly. Well, what is the reward that can come from the time that you spend praying and fasting? Discernment, wisdom, direction, insight, effective prayer, increased faith, peace, confidence, freedom, answered prayer, clarity and confidence in hearing from God. It is amazing how many believers have little confidence in their ability to hear from heaven. How can I know the will of God? How can I know this is God's will for me? And so a lot of times what they do is they go to Pastor Leonard, or they go to someone else who's more spiritual than them and want them to hear from God for them and help them know the will of God. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Are you a sheep? It is the intention of the Father that you hear with clarity his voice. And when you hear with clarity his voice, you can know his will for you, because his will for you is good. We make, like I said earlier, we make decisions that affect our tomorrows. So we can make decisions out of our heart, out of our spirit man. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Everything coming out of your spirit is going to be holy, and there's never going to be sin, and it's always going to be right. Decisions made by your head are not always going to be right. Decisions made by your flesh are not always going to be right. You have a lot of voices trying to influence you. How many of you know that your body has a voice? Oh, come on. Come on, when you're looking at the desserts and you've already had 2 pieces and it's telling you have another one. I'm telling you, that's not your spirit, that's your flesh. Or you happen to be clicking on one movie, or you're on the internet and something comes up and you know that it's not righteous, you know it's not holy, and your flesh is going to say, oh, come on, just a quick look. How many of you know that's not the Spirit of God? Or you're walking somewhere and you see this woman walking this way and the Lord says, go ahead and check out those trees over there and not do this. How many know that there's the difference between what you hear here and what you hear here or what you hear here? See, out of your mind, your imaginations and your emotions are going to try to direct you. Your flesh, listen, your flesh is stupid. It will kill you. I mean, I don't know a lot of you from high school. Leonard, I do. In high school, we were stupid. Too many times, I can't even tell you how drunk. The fact that we're alive today is a miracle from God. And the prayer of, I know my mom and whoever was praying for him and angels that kept us alive. I mean, I've been so drunk, I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. I've been so high that when I got up out of the chair, I just fell down. And if someone handed me another joint, I still smoked it. Somebody handed me something else, if I could breathe, I'd still snort it. I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. Your flesh is stupid. Your flesh cares nothing about tomorrow. Your flesh doesn't care about eternity. It only cares about now. And if you're going to make decisions based on your flesh, it's going to be destructive. If you're going to make decisions based only on your mind or the reasoning of your mind, well, your mind has limitations. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Well, if I can't understand it, then I don't know if I can trust it or not. I need to see some proof. I need to see some evidence. What did Thomas say? Well, unless I can see him, I will not believe. If I don't see the holes in his hands, if I don't see the hole on his side, I will not believe. My faith can't be based on what I see. My faith can be based on what I understand. It can't be based on the dictates of my flesh. I'm going to have to trust God's word. So when we fast, what we do, we challenge different areas of our lives. And we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind so the way that we think lines up with our hearts, with where we've been recreated and what the Bible says in righteousness and true holiness. In Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 15, says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long must I be with you? How long do I have to bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, a lot of people have taken this portion of Scripture and say, well, the only way to get rid of demonic spirits is through prayer and fasting. Well, let me encourage you in this. When the disciples said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. When he goes on to say, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting, is he talking about the devil or is he talking about your unbelief? See, prayer and fasting deals with you so you can deal with the devil. The time that you spend in prayer and fasting, remember, prayer and fasting, so if I'm not going to eat lunch, I'll spend time in the Word. If I'm not going to eat lunch, if I'm going to skip breakfast, then that means I'm going to take some time and commit my ways unto the Lord. I'm going to take some time with the things that are harassing me and bothering me, maybe some issues in my marriage or some issues with my kids or some issues with my job or just concerns about the future. You know, the older you get different kinds of thoughts. When you're in 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, you start getting into your 50s, you start thinking about your future a little bit more. When you get into your 70s, you're thinking, man, why didn't I think about these days earlier? You start thinking about your future. You start thinking about your security. And so if you haven't planned, then you get to that place and now you don't know what you're going to do. If you don't have the word of God to bring faith, then worry and fear and anxiety is going to begin to bring a depression and cause you to live with constant anxiety and stress. So what do you do with that? Well, what verses do you have? Well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not lack. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He restores. He rebuilds. He refreshes my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. The older you get, the more pain you've been through in life, the more disappointments and betrayals and sadness and hurts that you've been through. And if you don't allow the word of God to come in and heal your soul, if you don't allow the word of God to come in and bring a healing to your memories and to your mind and to your emotions, then the older you get, you can just get more bitter. And that's why we have a lot of people in their older age. They're broken and they're bitter and they're sad and they're mad and they're stressed. Why? Because they haven't taken the time to allow God to restore their soul. They're more aware emotionally and mentally. You know, we suffer more in our imaginations than we ever have in reality. We allow our imaginations to torment us consistently, and a lot of those things never show up, but we've already suffered because of what we'd imagined. Two of the greatest challenges we have in our life is our imaginations, things we see on the inside, and then our emotions. And if we want to bring some stability, what do we need to do? We need to take some time to fast and pray and say, look, I got to bring this area of my life under some control here. This worry, this fear, I've got to get some verses that help me deal with these concerns of mine concerning my future, concerning my health, concerning my finances, concerning my family. See, if you don't bring the word of God into it and the spirit of God into it, you'll carry it in your head. You'll carry it in your emotions. And it will weigh on you, and it will steal your joy. It will steal your peace. That's why Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't allow anxiety to rule, to depress, to hinder, to bring confusion, to steal your days. Be anxious for nothing. There's no excuse for anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. With prayer and supplication. Supplication is a specific request. In prayer and fasting, get specific. Where do you need to see God move? What do you want to see God do in your life? What do you want to see Him do in your marriage? What do you want to see Him do in your in physically for you? What do you need to see Him do in your finances? Well, you know, God knows. No. Listen, God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. If you didn't think God, because God sees the need, He's automatically moved to erase it, open your eyes, watch the news, look around the world. You see disasters all over the world. Where God is invited, where God is trusted, where there's an invitation to come in, where people believe upon, call upon me and I will answer thee. And show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please Him. Because those who come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, faith is an inward trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and the goodness of God. Do you believe in the power of God? Come on, do you? Do you believe in the wisdom of God? Do you believe in the goodness of God? Well, faith means you have an inward trust and enduring. Means it doesn't give up. It doesn't quit at the sign of a challenge or a pain or a disappointment. You don't cast it off and say, well, I guess God's not showing up. No, I still have an inward trust in here, not here. Not in my flesh, not in my head, but in my heart. I have an inside trust and an enduring confidence. I will not give up. I will not surrender. God's word is true. Jesus said, though heaven and earth pass away, my word shall not pass away. So in the time of prayer and fasting, what do? I get rid of the burrito, breakfast burrito. I get rid of the scrambled eggs and bacon or whatever. Or, dear Lord, you go to the Cup Diner and you got 10,000 calorie breakfast. It's so good, though. Biscuits and gravy. No, get rid of the biscuits and gravy and get some verses. Biscuits and gravy will fill this. Believe me, it will fill this and this. But it won't build this. It won't build faith. Where are you building your faith? Where are you taking some time? The Bible says, casting your cares upon him. Lord, these are the things that are frustrating me. I like what David said in Psalms. He said, I poured out my complaints to God. Quit complaining to everybody you know around you who can do nothing to help you and just take it before God. God's big enough to handle your complaints. You're not going to freak him out. You're not going to worry him. He already knows it. He listens to you every time you complain anyway. Just say, Lord, these are the things that stress me out. David, he complained to the Lord all the time. He goes, why do the heathen prosper? These guys don't serve you, they don't love you, they don't honor you, and look at how they prosper. This just does not seem right. Ever felt like that? Well, get it out of your head and just get honest with God. He already knows you're thinking it. Lord, I don't get it. Man, there's times I've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't like what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. Why is this going on? But in everything that I don't like and I don't understand, and this hurts and it doesn't feel good, but I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, every area of your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Don't allow the lack of understanding to cause you to stop believing or stop trusting. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Prayer and fasting causes you to slow down and focus on what are your greatest priorities this coming year. What's your priority? Where do you need to see God move? In all your ways, take time. Don't allow, one of the worst things in life for believers today is busyness. One of the greatest hindrances is busyness. Where we can't take 5 minutes and begin our day and acknowledge him. Practicing the presence of God. I endeavor every single day. It's a spiritual habit I've developed. The Bible said the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Every day when I wake up, it's just a habit that I've developed. Father, I thank you for a brand new day. I awaken to the mercies of God that are new and fresh every single day. Great is your faithfulness to me, O Lord. And see, one of the things that I don't stress over is because When I look at Psalms 23, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I expect the provision of God in my life. He leads me beside still waters. The Bible says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When things look bad, when things look like they're overwhelming, that's where God can set up a banquet for you right in the middle of your greatest challenges. And I like the end of Psalms 23. It says, goodness and mercy shall, what's behind you? Come on, say goodness. And what's it doing? How many of you have left some messes behind you before? Well, what's following you? You know what goodness and mercy, when it's following you all the days of your life, two things that it removes. Resentment and regret. Resentment towards people and regret towards yourself. Do you know how many people, some of you in here this morning, you've got resentment towards people and you're carrying the heaviness of regret for maybe some of the decisions you've made in your own life. Let me encourage you. In some prayer and fasting, get free from that. Yeah, but I really did something stupid. We all have our days of stupid. This is not the time to look at the person next to you. Oh, don't do that. We've all said and done some stupid things. I know you want to look at the person. Yeah, you really have. Like on the way to church this morning. Have you ever got into an argument on the way to church? Yeah. And then your spouse, you're with them, and they get twice as mad because you acted like such a donkey on the way to church or getting ready for church, and you were late for church. And you get into this argument on the way to church, but then when you come into church, one of the spouses just starts singing and worshiping and getting all happy with the Lord, and you look at them and think, how can you do that? Sing like that and be all happy and worship God. You should stay miserable like me right now. Got mad on the way to church, and now you're even more mad because they're acting spiritual and you want to hold on to that. And then after church, you're trying to continue, and when you get in the parking lot, and you almost run out over somebody in the parking lot. Oh, no, that's another church. That's not you guys. Let me go back to this. Fasting deals with you so you can deal with the devil. Prayer, spending time with God and in fellowship and prayer. Fasting, feeding your spirit and renewing your mind. Like I said, fasting is not a Christian diet. If you're not feeding your spirit, then you're going to be feeding your soul, feeding your mind, feeding your emotions, feeding your imaginations, or feeding your body. Prayer and fasting is taking some time. So, Lord, I need some wisdom. I need some insight. I need to regain some sensitivity that when you speak, when you want to lead me, when you want to guide me, when you want to encourage me, when you want to bring that still small voice that rises from the inside to let me know how loved I am and how valuable I am, so I stop beating myself up over my most recent mistake, or I don't allow what other people have done or said to me to continue to steal my joy. I'm just going to choose to forgive them based on who you are. Not that I feel it, but I don't make decisions based on what I feel. I make decisions based on the direction of God's word. One of the things that's very important, fasting doesn't mean God owes you. A lot of people think, okay, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast. Now God is obligated to do something because I missed some meals. No, doesn't work that way. A lot of people think that. See, I've worked in the Philippines going on 45 years. Some things in the Philippines are pretty radical. In the past, it has been a very, very extreme Catholic nation. In fact, it's one of the only countries in the world where they still crucify people. And people volunteer for that. They volunteer on Easter to be put on a cross and have nails put to their hands because they believe that if they suffer and they shed some blood, through the shedding of their blood and through their suffering, now God is obligated to answer their prayer. Your blood purchases nothing. Your suffering purchases nothing. His suffering purchased everything. His blood purchased everything. They have something called flagellantes, where people will go from one church to the next, and they have the priest that will come out with small razor blades and cut some of parts of their back, and then they will take these palm fronds and whips, and they will beat themselves, and they go walk from church to church and beat themselves bloody, and then when they get to the next church, then the priest will pray over them, and they get special favors because of the blood and their suffering. That's religion. And there's no reality, there's no truth in that whatsoever. If we want to see the favor of God, we want to see the blessings of God, we go to where Jesus, where he suffered for you and I, and faith in him and who he is. Suffering is not a punishment where you're trying to hurt yourself, you're trying to sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." See, we're not going to gain back through sacrifice what we've lost through continued disobedience. Some people think, if I can just really sacrifice and pay a price now. No. Just consistent daily obedience is what you need. Fasting is never meant to hurt you. Fasting is not to deprive you and make you suffer. Fasting is you choosing to feed an area of your life and turn off your head for a while. Turn off the imaginations that are limiting you and bringing you fear. Your imagination is like an inward blueprint. It's giving you a design on the inside, and God wants to use your imagination. He doesn't want the world to use it. He doesn't want the devil to use it. But your imagination will create a picture on the inside, and you're afraid that's what's going to happen on the outside. But God wants to be the one to feed your imagination. So as you see it in here, God's beginning to show you what he wants to bring to pass out here. So you have these great expectations, not fearful ones. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. He wants us to walk in peace. And when we take time in prayer and fasting, we acknowledge, what are your fears, right? What is the greatest fear? I mean, don't tell me, just, what are how many of you have some fears right now? Come on, be honest. That sometimes keep you awake at night. Why do you think there's so many sleeping pills for sale now? People are stressed. Why are they stressed? Life is hard. So we get stressed. We have no peace. The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. We get stressed out. We're filled with anxiety because of uncertainty. We've given it our best and somehow it doesn't seem to be enough. Well, that's because it's going to take more than just the strength of your own arm or who you are in the natural. You need to trust him. That means you need to believe in things that you don't see. That means you're going to have to trust him beyond the reasonings of your mind. That means you're going to have to shut down this voice, your flesh, which is the most selfish voice in your life. It's natural, temporary, and earthly. It's not eternal. It's not spiritual, and it's not heavenly. And it only cares about today. It doesn't care about tomorrow. It doesn't really care about anybody else. It cannot be the dominant voice in your life. So what do? You tell it to shut up. What's one of the ways you tell it to shut up? Take a couple days and fast. All right, we're not going to eat lunch today. Your flesh will go nuts. And if you don't take authority over it, you're getting ready to eat the biggest lunch you have in the last 2 weeks. Because your body's going to go into survival. No, we're going to eat. We're going to eat big today. No, we're not. Now, you know what? I'm tired of you dictating to me. I'm tired of you directing my life. No. I will not be dominated by my flesh. I will not be dominated by the reasonings of my mind. I need to be led by my spirit. I need to get alone and I need to have some quiet time. I need to get into the Word. When's the last time you just sat down and read the Word for a while? Just read some Proverbs. You know, if you read one proverb every day, just one, by the end of the month, you've read the entire book of Proverbs. By the end of the year, you've read Proverbs through 12 times. It's a place of great wisdom. You don't know how to pray. You don't know how to just give thanks to God. Take time reading Psalms. Read some Psalms. Read some Psalms where David says, I will not fear what man can do unto me. God is on my side. Read Psalms 23. Allow the Word of God to become food in this time that you're fasting, and then go before the Lord, and the things that really concern you, voice it out. He's a father. He loves you. I have a daughter, two sons, four grandkids. I love them with all my heart. So many things I would love to do for them, but I'm limited in my abilities. But I have a Heavenly Father that has no limitation other than my faith and my obedience. You say, oh no, you can't limit God. Yes, you can. In Psalms, it says the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel and they forgot His promises. We limit Him by not trusting Him. We limit Him by not relying on Him. We limit Him by not listening and walking in obedience. Your Father, He's just like a grandfather. I mean, my grandkids come in and jump up on my lap. I love it. I'll give them anything. The youngest one, Camila, she jumps up on my lap. Ryan's little daughter, she gives me a kiss on the cheek. It's like, dear Lord, what do you want? And I'm a natural father. I'd do anything for my sons. Do anything for my daughter. Grandkids, oh, even more. What kind of Heavenly Father do you think you have? Do you not understand how much He loves you? Do you not understand what He desires for you? He not only wants you to believe in Him, He wants you to believe Him. I know everybody here probably believes in Him, but some of you are struggling with believing Him. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. It's not that He can, but He just chooses not to. It is impossible for God to lie. So since it's impossible for God to lie, why is it the greatest challenge that we have is believing this perfect God? Maybe we haven't taken enough time to get into His Word and feed on it and say, okay, I'll take this one. I'll take this verse. And that's where you have to shut off one voice in the demands between your head and your flesh and allow this one on the inside to become clearer and clearer and clearer. As I said earlier, the reason many can't hear the Holy Spirit is because a lack of sensitivity or the busyness of life. Feelings, voice of the body. Reason, the voice of the mind. Emotions, it's a mixture of your head and your body. But your conscience, that's the voice of your spirit. Which one do we feed the most? Well, I need to wrap this up. I want to read a couple verses to you, then we'll close. Colossians 1:9. I pray this all the time. I've been praying this for years. Shadi and I, we pray this. Paul says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk that's worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So I take that. I encourage you. Colossians 1:9, write it down. This week, while you're taking some time to pray and to fast, read this over yourself. Pray it first person. Father, I thank you that you are filling me with the knowledge of your will. In all wisdom, all kinds of wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I truly have a walk that is worthy of you, and I'm fully pleasing to you. I am fruitful in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power, and I walk in patience and any long-suffering with joy, because your joy is my strength. And I'll close with this. A verse we've all heard, 1 Corinthians begins chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. People read that and they go, well, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Oh, the wonderful things God has prepared for those who love him. Keep reading. It's not the end of it. Doesn't mean, oh, God's got some great stuff. Too bad you'll never know about it. It's not what Paul's writing. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. What has he revealed? The things he's prepared for us. Listen, we don't need these things when we get to heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no challenge in heaven. There's no devil in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no problems in heaven. Where do we need answers? Where do we need to see God move? On earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth. We need answers on earth. We need authority on earth. We need peace on earth. When we get to heaven, there's no problem. We need to see God move on earth. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He gave you his Spirit so you can know the things that have been freely given. And when you know what's freely been given, then the fear, the anxiety, the worries, the torments, and all those things don't have to dominate your life. And you can walk in peace. You can have wisdom. You can have direction. You can have insight. You can have discernment because you're hearing from the Word and from His Spirit. This is what I provided for you. This is what I have for you. I am your Father. And I've freely given unto you all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What does prayer and fasting do? It brings us into a place where we're not going to be dominated by vain imaginations that contradict God's word. We're not going to be dominated by our emotions that are running away with us. We're not going to allow fear and worry and anxiety to be the dominant thought that's in our head. We're going to pull ourselves aside, take some time to just get real with God. Lord, I hurt here. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about this. And I need you desperately in my life. I don't know what I would do without you. I am totally dependent upon you. And I thank you for your word. And so between talking to him and sharing your heart, getting the weights out of here, and then spending time in the word and letting it refresh you and renew your mind and causing your head to think in line with your heart and letting your body know, hey, you are my servant. You are not my master. There's anything that prayer and fasting does that it turns things around. Your body's a great servant. It's a lousy master. It's never meant to be the boss. It's meant to serve you. Prayer and fasting confronts things maybe that are a little out of control, and you want to bring them back into balance. Take some time. Get alone. Pour out your heart. You say, I don't know how to pray. You know how to talk. Do you know how to complain? Oh, come on. Start there. You say, what kind of a prayer is that? It's honest. It's honest. It's real. Well, I don't. Listen, when Peter was drowning, remember when he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on water? What kind of prayer do you think he had? Help! Not very fancy, but very effective. Can you do that? Can you get honest and just say, Lord, I'm tired of struggling, trying to figure it out on my own. I really need you. I need your wisdom. I need your peace. I need to build a fresh faith in my life. I need to rearrange some priorities so I don't just hear about you once on Sunday, but I begin to develop an ear that hears. I want to know the voice of my Father. I want to know, Jesus, you're my shepherd. I want to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit that speaks from my heart. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all freely and does not hold back. The Bible also says the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be received. When we need wisdom, we have the Spirit on the inside of us, who's the Spirit of wisdom, so it can rise from within or it can come from above. Take some time this week. Start with 5 minutes. Start with 10. Begin to develop a spiritual habit and watch it change 2025. Amen? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who you say is a spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, and might. The one who lives and dwells on the inside of us. When we were born again, we were born of your Spirit. The same Spirit that came upon Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in us and quickens our mortal bodies. Jesus, you said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another, one of the same kind. You told your disciples, it's to your advantage that I go away, and I will send him to you. Father, we thank you that today we have your Holy Spirit, the teacher who lives on the inside of us, who wants to lead, who wants to guide, who wants to instruct. So I thank you. In the coming week, as we finish going through January of 2025, whatever is coming in this year, we can have peace, we can have wisdom, we can have insight, we can have the ability to discern, we can have a faith that helps us to overcome whatever's coming. Your word declares, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and what is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We trust you. We look to you. We rely upon you. And I thank you that in the coming weeks, we slow down and we take some time to pour out our hearts. And as we pour out our hearts before you, by your word and your spirit, you pour back into us. And our faith grows and increases. We develop an ear to hear. And we recognize your leading. Our hearts become more sensitive. The dullness and the callousness because of neglect begins to be removed. And we hear the voice of our shepherd. And we follow. And the path of the righteous, it's like a shining light that gets brighter and brighter unto every day. Let the path of every person here become brighter as they hear, as they follow, and as they walk with you in new levels in 2025, filled with peace and confidence and a joy. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.